Okay, is that good to go?
Yeah, that's it.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Okay, good evening, everybody, and welcome to our February meeting of full council. Hopefully everybody can hear me clearly. As we all know, we remain in very unprecedented times, and I can ask everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the guidelines in regard to the conduct of the meeting this evening. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would also like to remind members of obligations under the Council's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they may have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up on the call the duration of discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments that they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant message facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is taking place. And I will also remind members to keep their instant messaging to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, P if you wish to propose, and S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using the instant message. If two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposes first will be taken as the proposer, and the person who proposes second will be recorded as the seconder. I'm sure we all know that spiel off by heart by now, but we'll have to read it out at the start of the meeting, so thanks for engaging in that. Okay, Sarah, can you advise any apologies this evening?
Yeah, we have an apology from Councillor McAvoy.
Okay, and we have any other apologies from the floor members?
Councillor McKee. Sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Sean Doran and Leanne McAvoy. Okay.
Thanks. Thank you very much for taking note of all those. Okay, so if we now move on to Chairman's remarks. I want to firstly praise and thank those working on the front line, be that in our intensive care units or out in the community tending to our elderly. We've all seen the news reports and heard the dreadful scenes at our hospitals, particularly over the past fortnight. So to all those doing their best to care for others, we appreciate all your efforts. As we know, the COVID vaccination programme has currently been rolled out and is a very positive step and some light amidst all of the darkness. And I appreciate most of us want the vaccine sooner rather than later, but I'm asking people to be patient. You will be called whenever it is your time. As we know, the COVID stats in our district remain very high. We all need to continue to do our bit, staying at home where possible, keeping our distance and wearing a mask where required. Our numbers are coming down, but we are a long way away from any sense of normal, whatever that new normal is going to look like. So please do keep your guard up and adhere to the public health guidance. This Thursday night is Time to Talk Day, so I'm asking people to call a neighbour, a friend or a family member. The number of people feeling isolated has taken a massive spike in numbers due to COVID and the restrictions from the executive. More people than ever are struggling with day-to-day life. Financial pressures, difficulties with homeschooling, being isolated in a rural area, the young, the not so young, the list really is endless. So please do take time to check in on someone. Sometimes that 5-minute telephone call or even a text could be all that that person needs. There are better days to come, but I suppose we all need to look out for each other in the interim. So now in terms of tonight, you'll see item 20 has been added to the agenda. This is a notice of motion from Councillor McEvitt. It had been left off the agenda, but when evidence to prove it had been submitted in a timely manner was produced, it had been added by Democratic Services in the order of the motions that have been received. Now, lastly, you will have all been circulated with the wording of an emergency motion earlier today from Sarah in Democratic Services that came from Councillor Savage. Obviously, I am in your hands, folks, as it will require the suspension of standing orders and 80% of those members present tonight and voting for it to be heard. So it will be taken last on tonight's agenda. So just to mention this issue, now you know that will be flagged up later on at the end of the agenda. Okay, so if we can get into the actual body of the meeting itself, do we have any declarations of interest?
No.
Okay, if we can then move on to the action sheet, which is the one from our council meeting held in January. So if we can maybe go through page by page for accuracy, first of all. So if we go to page 1, page 2, page 3, and page 4. Could I maybe ask for a proposer or a seconder? First of all, for accuracy, Patrick, are you looking to propose?
So a quick question on it, Chair.
Okay, no, while I'll come back to you. Councillor Andrews, are you proposing the accuracy?
So proposed, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Are you the seconder, please? Thank you, Gareth Sharvin. Thank you. Okay, matters arise and go back then to Councillor Brown.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's just a question on the union negotiations there on the action sheet. So obviously we got word that a resolution has been or was reached, and that's great news. We're all very pleased to hear that. Given that joint meeting of councillors, management and unions never happened, though, I think there's definitely some councillors who are feeling a bit in the dark as to what was agreed there and what was signed off, and also what stage it is at. Is everything signed, sealed and delivered, or is there still some outstanding discussions and agreements to be made there? I'd also like to know, you know, what was the major change that made the agreement agreeable to the unions, which side budged in the end? And also, you know, why haven't councillors been consulted before now on what was presumably agreed to by management? Because we had a number of meetings with management and councillors in the run-up to that deal being reached, where councillors were kept abreast of developments and were asked to sign up to a number of things. But we were given no advance notice of what was agreed in the end. And also, can management comment on why there was a Facebook post put up which had details of the negotiations?
Chair, can I just intervene to say this is a closed session item and not for public?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, the Facebook post was obviously public, so it was reported in the press. I'd just like to know what happened with that. It was swiftly deleted afterwards, but I'd just like details on why it was put up and why it was then taken down.
Marie, do we need a proposal and seconder to go into committee, or?
Well, Chair, I suppose before you would do that, I'll just say that the matter is currently in the hands of legal, and we wouldn't be making any further comments tonight anyway, so it would be up to Council's choice if they want to go into closed session.
Okay. Councillor Brown, so obviously Chief Executive told us the matter is in the hands of the legal at this moment in time. There'll be no further comment. Do you want to continue to make a proposal to go into committee, or are you content?
If there's no comment, then that's fine. Could I ask Marie to outline a time frame for when that will be signed off then?
Yeah, sure. We will bring that back with them to council when we have got it concluded. But as I say, it's currently in the hands of legal.
Okay, thank you, Marie. Okay, Councillor Brown, are you content with that for now?
Yes, thanks, Chair. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. Okay, if we can move on then, Councillor Andrews, thank you. And next for a question.
Thanks very much, Chair. It's just in relation to page 5 of the minutes in relation to a walk-in test centre for COVID. On previous occasions, I've asked and requested that the likes of Downpatrick or Kilkeel and Newcastle also could be considered to cover this part of the district. And I'm just wondering,
is that the action sheet or the council meeting itself?
It's actually in the minutes on the meeting, so it is.
Okay, I'll go back to you, Terry. We just want to try and get matters rising from the action sheet first of all before we move
on. Sorry for that, chairperson. Sorry about that. I just dropped the gun a wee bit. Sorry.
No bother at all. No problem, Terry. Councillor Walker, please, on the action sheet.
Chair, no, I've withdrawn my question. It was in relation to Councillor Brown at the time, but I've withdrawn it.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Walker. Okay, so we're content then to move on from the action sheet. We can then go to the actual minutes of the council meeting held on the 4th of January. If we can go through page by page for accuracy, first of all, there's 8 pages, so page 1, page 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, we have a proposal there from Councillor Stokes. Thank you. Do we have a second from Councillor Burgess? Thank you. Okay, go back to you then, Terry, for matters arising.
Thanks very much.
Oh, we've lost you there, Terry.
You're on mute, Terry.
That's a quotation I'll never forget. Chairperson, in relation to page 5 of the action sheet, I know my colleague, Councillor Savage, had raised about the testing centre at the Albert Basin, and there was walk-in and also drive-in. And I'm just wondering if on a couple of occasions, is there any idea or would there be any proposals coming to the Public Health Agency to extend the scope of their testing centres to cover the likes of Downpatrick and Newcastle of Kilkeel? Because this is an extensive size of district that, you know, would gladly welcome such a facility in Downpatrick and Kilkeel or Newcastle. Because Newry is as far off, you know, it's distant, you know, for people to travel to that facility. So it would be grateful if the council could make get further inquiries on this request to see if that could happen. Thank you.
Sure. So we do raise these matters with PHA, and we can certainly provide the councillor with an update after this meeting.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you.
I appreciate that, Chair. Thanks, Marie.
Okay, thank you. If we move on then, I think Councillor Hanlon, you were next up for a question.
Yeah, it's just to concur with Councillor Andrews' comments there. I know that Sinn Féin have written asking for similar to that as well. So I would definitely encourage if the council have any weight that they could lend to it. So thank you, just to make that comment.
Thank you, Una. Okay, then if we can turn then for the council meeting minutes there from the 4th of January, no more questions. Okay, if we can then move on to the ERT minute on the 11th of January there. So in terms of accuracy, we've got 13 pages. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 and 13. I had a P in there from Councillor Curran. Dermot, are you content to propose those minutes? Taking that
yes,
sir,
yes.
Yeah.
I'm proposing.
Okay, and then Councillor Stokes, are you happy to second it? You have a P in there as well? Okay. Okay, thank you, folks. Have we any matters arising from ERT? Okay, thank you, members. We can move on then to the Audit Committee on the 12th of January.
Chair, would it be possible I could make a comment on something?
You're a wee bit late, Lynn, but I'll let you in. Go on ahead for
us. I had it in before you put your head down there, but you were that busy going ahead there. You missed me. Just, Chair, could I just pass one comment there? There was an item on the agenda in the ERT, and it was actually very timely, so it was about Annalong Harbour. Last weekend, there was substantial damage done to the North Pier, so it was... And I would just like to compliment the director in charge, Conor Mallon, for his swift action in trying to address this problem. And just with everything falling into place at this moment in time, it couldn't be better because the work now needs done immediately, so it does. So thank you very much to Conor Mallon for all his work on this. Thank you.
Okay, Glenn, thanks very much on that. That's great. Your comments have been noted. Okay, if we move on then to the Audit Committee, we'll go through page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2. Page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, 8 and 9. Do we have a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? Proposed by Councillor Byrne. Thank you. A seconder, maybe? Yeah. Well, I think it needs to be a member of the Audit Committee, Hugh. Let's see if anybody else. I mean, I'm content to second those minutes. I was at that meeting. So proposed by Hugh and second. Actually, yeah, that's grand. Thank you. Have we any matters arising? Okay. Just move on then to the Audit Committee. Now we move on to the SPNR meeting on the 14th of January. So again, for accuracy, page 1. Page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, 9 and 10. Proposed by Councillor O'Mara, second by Councillor McGuinness. Thank you. So in terms of matters arising, Councillor Walker, you'd like in there?
Terrible mistake. Sorry.
Oh, no bother, Billy. No problem at all. No problem. Okay, folks, anybody else looking in there on the SPNR minutes? Okay, if we can move on then. We're on to the Active Healthy Communities Committee on the 18th of January. Okay, so for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 and 12, proposed by Councillor O'Mara, seconded by Councillor O'Hearn. Thank you. Charlie, Councillor Casey, you're looking there at Matters Horizon.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's to do with the issue around the Willie Mealy statue. I didn't ask for a site for the statue. The group themselves had identified a site which they thought would have been appropriate in Sugar Island. And I had asked for a report a couple of times. Thankfully, I did get a report back. But I had asked that the council works with the group because I think they had been informed because the Nabi statue was also placed in Sugar Island that it wouldn't be appropriate for to have the Willie Mealy statue in the same location. So I think they're right back at the Hayes site, and the wording of my proposal for the council to take action on is slightly misleading. I didn't ask for a site. I asked that they clarify, councillor clarify, is that their position that they're indicating to the group that it's not a suitable site, and have they worked with the group to identify a suitable site? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Charlie. Michael, are you there? Can you come in on that in terms of accuracy?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I can confirm we are working with the group. The DA coordinator, I'm sure the council will be aware, has met with the group and talked to them on a number of occasions. And we are trying to find a site for them that would be suitable in the Downpatrick or in the Erie area. So I'm quite happy to pick this up with the councillor tomorrow with the DA coordinator, if that helps.
Okay. And
do
you
like
that?
Michael,
thanks, Laura. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks very much. Okay, any other matters arising under AHC? Okay, if we can move on then to Neighbourhood Services on the 20th of January. For accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5. And that's been proposed by Councillor McGuinness and seconded by Councillor McKevitt. Thank you. Okay, have we any matters arising from Neighbourhood Services? Yep, Councillor Walker, do you want to come in there?
Sure, yes, thanks very much. Tell you what it is, I'm a bit concerned here, maybe I have missed it. It has seemed to have dropped off in relation to dog fouling and neighbourhood services. As you're aware, there's been a number of motions brought forward to this council in relation to dog fouling. I brought motions forward. The last motion, I think, was Councillor Brown, and we were to go away and work up a paper in relation to a number of initiatives and that. That seems to have disappeared, and now we're starting to get it in the neck again as councillors. The Harbour Walkway in Killeley is a shame and disgrace with the dog fouling at the minute and that. We were at an interagency meeting in Ballinahinch, in relation to Ballinahinch there last week, and it raised its head there and that. I would like to know where this is in the system and that, and what policies we're going to put in place, because we have to send out a strong message here to the general public there that this will not be tolerated. Now, some of the proposals that had come forward in that there, I'd like to see where they are and get something done and show something positive here.
Yeah, okay, Billy. I'm conscious not on the agenda. What I'll ask maybe is Johnny to give you a call after the meeting tomorrow maybe and see where we go from there. Would that be okay?
That's dead on.
Okay, thank you, Billy. Okay, Councillor Andrews, is this... Yeah, you're happy to withdraw your question. Okay, no bother at all. So that's that meeting then, the minutes. That has been dealt with. If we can move on then to, there's nothing from the Planning Committee. If we move on then to item number 11, which is correspondence from the Housing Council by way of minutes and a bulletin. If anybody has any matters arising on that they want to raise, it's just for noting, but okay. If we're content to move on then until the next item of correspondence, which is from Fermanagh and Omagh District Council. These items are all through just for noting, but I'll call them out individually if anybody would like to raise any items on that one. That's number 13. The next one then is number 14 from Armagh, Banbridge and Craigavon Council. And then number 15 is from the Department of Justice and Department for Infrastructure in terms of the annual Christmas anti-drink driving campaign. Councillor Sharvin, you'd like to come in there?
Yeah, Chair, thank you. And I do note that both ministers did respond. One taking a lot more time to consider our request and detailing the legislation, But I am disappointed in the Justice Minister's response, where she does clearly state correctly that legislation is the responsibility of the Infrastructure Minister, but that there is an oversight and a feedback role that her department plays. I would have hoped, and the aim of the motion when it was done, was to create a partnership in tackling drink driving. So it's really disappointing to see that the Justice Minister, who has the enforcement of the legislation, not taking it seriously enough. And I certainly would have thought that she would have taken the time to look at that and work in partnership with her executive ministers in tackling it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Sharp. I know we're jumping on down. I know Councillor McGuinness, you're coming in line number 16. If you're okay with you, I'll take Councillor Walker under 14 and then come back to you if that's okay. Councillor Walker, you had a comment there regarding the correspondence from ABC Council. Oh, you're on mute, Billy.
Yes, in relation to that there, I think, you know, we should be commending our health minister. We as a council passed a motion for to support our health workers and that there and making a payment and that to them. And that I actually think, you know, he stepped up to the mark here. He's listened. Yes, MLAs were putting pressure on him as well. So they were in that and councils. But, you know, he has delivered here. So he has. And let's give credit where credit's due. You know, all too often we can criticise ministers and that when they don't do things or they don't get it right. And that I think MLA and the Minister Swan has stepped up the mark here. And I think, you know, we have to commend them for doing that, you know. And this council unanimously supported that motion. And the great thing is, it's now going to deliver on it.
Thank you, Billy. I couldn't agree with you more. Those payments are so important and very, very well needed. So thank you for that. Okay, Councillor Owen, I'll take you in first and then I'll go to Councillor Mayle. I think your item is regarding number 15. Is that correct?
Yes, thanks very much, Chairwoman. Listen, I really just want to come in on the back of what Gareth said there to do with those two letters. I must admit, whenever I read the first one myself, I was quite sort of shocked by how much it was sort of, it just felt like sort of passing the buck rather than sort of acknowledging the oversight, you know, the legislation side of things. Just do think that it's worthwhile sort of picking up on the very detailed reply there from the Infrastructure Minister there. There was actually 35 arrests that were actually made in our district. So out of the 280 arrests that were actually made across Northern Ireland during Christmas, 35 of them were in our own district. I just think that requires just a little bit of acknowledgement in the sense that there is obviously still a bit of a problem in our district, and then maybe sort of thinking about ways that we can address that certainly next year as well. Because bearing in mind, I know obviously we had 2 weeks you know, in the run up to Christmas where there wasn't a lockdown, but still and with all, you know, people should really not be doing that much in the sense of then going out and to be in those positions. So I think it's really just to make a point of it then, certainly for when it comes around to next year and highlighting that there is still an issue. So thanks very much, Chairwoman, for letting me in.
Chair.
Thank you. Yes,
just before you move up from item 15, could it be possible for officers to look to see of informing ministers that we have written to other ministers? Because I do note Minister Long calls out that she was only written to. Maybe if we include that going forward, that whoever we're writing to, if it's multiple ministers, that we note that we have written to a number of them so they are aware that we've done that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you, Gareth. Thank you, Catherine. Okay, if we move on then, Councillor McGuinness. Sorry for jumping on ahead of you there. I knew that you were wanting to raise something under item 16, so if you want to work away there.
Yeah, thanks, Laura. No, I'm just looking to ask Marie Ward. I presume the Minister for Infrastructure, Nicola Mallon, was written to in regards to this item. I'm just wondering, was there any response from that department? I see we have a response there from the Minister of Finance, so just wanting to know, was there any other response to that?
Yeah, Councillor McGuinness, there was correspondence sent out. I just need Sarah to confirm if you can, Sarah. It went to both ministers, am I right? Sarah there.
I'm on mute, yes. Sorry, yes. We've written to both, yeah. I don't think we've received a reply yet from the Minister for Infrastructure.
Okay, thank you, Sarah.
Okay. Thank you. Another question there from Councillor Murphy.
Yeah, thanks, Laura. It's regards to the letters that went to both the Minister for Finance and the Minister for Infrastructure with regards to pedestrian road safety measures. Now, I think it was fairly much emphasised that we were looking for a response from both ministers. Obviously, the response from the Minister for Finance fairly clearly says that it's up to DFA, the Minister, Mick McMullen, to determine how much priority she gives to road service from within her budget. It also says that DFA for 2021 was given an additional $33 million in response, in resource funding, which brought the budget to $417.9 million, which was an 8.7% increase. The executive also gave DFA a capital DEL budget of $558.2 million. This is a significant amount of money. We are told that it's up to the minister to decide how she spends that. And yet, we haven't got a response. And to the best of my knowledge, whenever the monitoring happens in January, the monitoring rounds, it's usually the Department for Health and the Department for Infrastructure that are first in, for bids for funding, because of, the lack of funding. Now, obviously, health was in, but there was nothing from DFA for roads. In fact, there was an underspend for the roads. It was £1 million, approximately £1 million given back. Now, I have a request into DFA for an island to be placed on the Calmer Road. So, obviously, that's, a pedestrian road safety measure. And yet, I'm being told that there isn't enough money in the pot. So we do need clarity, from the minister. And I would propose that, we write again to the minister with responsibility to prompt her to give us an answer for this particular issue. We already have an answer. It's not up to the finance. Finance has already given put the money into the pot. The pot was given to DFA, yet some of that money was then taken back out of the pot and put back into the monitoring rounds. It just doesn't make sense to me. I would like to propose that we correspond yet again to the Minister for a response.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. And a question from Councillor Byrne. Pete, is this the same issue or is this a separate issue?
Yeah, no, Chair, it's the same issue. Can you hear me all right?
Yep, can see. Come on
out. It's just on the back of Councillor Murphy's comments and I suppose on the back of the correspondence. We're getting from Councillor Murphy there that the finance has been put into the pot. And when I read this response, I'm shocked that some members of this council actually take the response from the finance minister as an adequate response. I am very disappointed in it. I mean, we can all look at these correspondents and say that's the responsibility of one minister and just hammer down on Minister Mallon the whole time, but it's the responsibility of the whole executive and also the responsibility of the finance minister. When you're talking about the amount of money that was given, the extra $33 million in the resource funding, and which comes with an 8.7% increase, and then the capital money. You're missing out the fact that at the start of the executive, in the original supply and confidence, we've got the $15 million in broadband, which is in on top of that, which is inflating the figures. But if we want to look down at percentages of 8.7% increase on DFI, this is the department that the former Minister Hazard had said that there were major strategic problems with, and that there was a £1 billion deficit that would not be fixed for 5 years, and he would work day and night for 5 years in October 2016 to work on that £1 billion deficit. It collapsed 2 months later after he had said that. When you're talking about the 8% increase in infrastructure, that was at the same time we had a 72% increase in the executive office. Now, ministers going back to the finance minister now, when he had this brief as well himself, Minister Murphy at the time, have been screaming and shouting for 15 years about the lack of funding in DFI. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can go back to the Barton report that was backed up by the NAO, and it said that it falls very short, way short of the investment that's needed. And Minister Mallon has stated this. Minister Hazard had stated it in the past. Minister Murphy himself had stated it before that. So I think what we need to do is work collectively to ensure that we have the budget to maintain the huge infrastructure that we have across this island. That £1 billion deficit isn't something that's coming from me. It's coming from Minister Hazard at the time. And he said, and I'll quote him, by no stretch of the imagination are we going to address this unless we work more strategically and budget across departments, including finance. So I don't take this response that came from Minister Murphy as, you know, an adequate response in the sense that he's put the budget in. It reads to me as the minister saying, Minister Mallon has the budget. It's about divvying it up and reprofiling it. And that's simply not the case, because you're moving it from one area that is severely under-resourced with a £1 billion hole to another area. So we need to get increased funding into DFI. We need to all collectively, and we said this before as a party, that we would support the Minister for Finance to lobby the Treasury, and certainly Rishi Sunak, who talked about a major investment in infrastructure last year. We need to make sure that we get a major investment into Northern Ireland, because it doesn't matter who the minister is in the future. We have the same problem. So let's all stick together on what Minister Hazard had said in the past about the strategic direction that's needed here and a five-year plan that was needed in October 2016. Nicola Mallon is in the post 12 months. And also following the last point I'll make, following the budget increase at the start of this term, the Finance Minister talked about having flexibility in reprofiling the budget as long as it was dealing with the COVID crisis. So that's thrown into the mix as well. The Minister can reprofile parts of our budget in dealing with the COVID crisis. So we can't take away from one area, and we're talking about road safety measures. I'd like to see more than £3 million in the pot for road safety measures out of that capital fund. I absolutely would. But if you're talking about where we prioritise, we're already prioritising the roads. It gets over 55% of the budget. So we can't take blood from a stone. We need to work together across department. And as Gareth had said in the previous comment, it's easy for ministers with passing the buck on to somebody else and saying, that's your remit, until the next time. We need to get real about this and work together. So I think we should be, I don't accept this from Minister Murphy, and I think we should be putting more pressure to get increased funding into infrastructure. It's all doubled down on what the Barton report says. We are a far way away from the resources that we need for infrastructure here and the capital that we need, and we need to work collectively. So I don't think hammering one minister does the job. It's only playing politics. And that's okay, and we're throwing out local politics for spin, but not from a finance minister. I think we should deserve better than that.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne. I see just as you were speaking there, Pete and Sarah has circulated a response that's been received from Minister Mallon. But Marie, I'm conscious. I know Councillor Riley, you wanted in. I'm going to bring Marie in first and then come back to you, Councillor Riley. Marie, do you want to go on ahead there?
Yeah, Chair, sorry, it was just to say Sarah had circulated that response, which seems to have come in on Friday to me, and I just said circulated to councillors there, so it has hopefully been circulated at this stage.
Perfect, Marie, thanks very much. Councillor Riley, is this the same issue?
Yeah, just totally disillusioned with DFI and how do they actually spend their money? You know, I'm getting reports that there will be money actually sent back from the Newry office to the finance ministry. And if that's true, that is a scandal, an absolute scandal. And I also wonder, because I've travelled a lot of Northern Ireland over the last couple of weeks for different reasons, legitimate reasons. And our area is by far the worst anywhere in Northern Ireland. There's no question or doubt about it. And it's down here in Mourne, it's just, you know, the infrastructure's actually crumbling. And I wanted to ask Marie, whenever we were negotiating the City Deal, they did state, under the Scottish experience, that roads infrastructure could be included as connectivity, as joining parts of the district together. And the fact that you know, there's a scheme in Newcastle and other scheme in Newry. I did ask the divisional officer for DFI to investigate that on our behalf, and like, they never done a thing. It's just as if they don't care about Newry and Mourne, and particularly from my point of view, Mourne. It's just, it's getting so bad. It's pathetic. We need some action on it just to get basic repairs up to speed. And I would like, Marie, if the council could write to DFI and ask them, will there be an underspend? Because if there is, it is a scandal and we shouldn't accept it. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor, just before you go on there, Councillor, are you looking at the same issue here to the DFI response, or what issues you want to come in on?
Yep. Yeah, just with regard to...
I'd like to agree with Councillor Murphy and Councillor Riley. It's utter incompetence that money was handed back considering the state of our road. So wholeheartedly agree with Councillor Murphy and Councillor Riley. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Casey,
is this
the same issue or a different one?
Same issue, Chair, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I have to
agree with, yeah, I have to agree with Declan and Gavin. Still in Uri, I mean, potholes, footpaths are a disgrace, lighting, road markings, the whole infrastructure in Uri City, I've been slightly parochial here, it's an absolute disgrace. They haven't spent a heaply on it in the last 6 months. Not that I can see anyway. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Sharvin?
Yeah, sorry, Chair, thank you. It's just for clarity on the proposal then from Councillor Murphy, given that Minister Mallon actually did respond to the request. I take it that proposal is no longer needed, given the Minister has responded.
Thanks, Gareth. I'm conscious of, I know that Declan's looking in there as well. I'll go back to the other Declan afterwards. Councillor McAteer, you have a question there? Do you want to go on ahead?
Yeah, it was just asking members had they read the email, and it's a bit disappointing that we're only getting the correspondence out now. But I'm just asking members have they read the email and will they be prepared to withdraw some of the comments made about the funding? It's clearly here saying the minister's been playing for more money. The SDLP are not naive enough to notice the concerted attack that has been going on against Minister Mallon over the past month. At every juncture, every meeting we attend, there's been a concerted Sinn Féin driven progress against and briefing against Minister Mallon. So obviously she's doing something extremely good when so much attention has been paid to her by Sinn Féin.
Thank you. Declan,
Councillor
O'Mara, is yours on the same topic or is it a different one?
Yeah, no, I don't like to see that my SDLP friends being so flustered. There's certainly no strategy from any councillors in the Sinn Féin group to pick on any minister. There's definitely not. I can say that from the off. And we can all appreciate the work, for example, that Robin Swan is doing in the health ministry. As other councillors have referred to, the state of the roads in South Armagh, as well as other places, is absolutely shambolic. And I think the issue that people were getting to was that there was going to be an underspend in that department. Nothing to do with the person. It's nothing to do with who the minister is. So, you know, it's not a party political thing.
Thank you, Barra. Councillor Owen?
I'll keep it brief, Laura. Listen, I just want to say, and I'm sure Billy will agree with me here, we regularly go on record, actually, and I think, I know we're probably going against the grain here, but we regularly go on record and thank the infrastructure team that we have here that actually covers down, because there's not one thing that Billy and I don't put in, and I'm sure Terry's maybe going to say something similar, that we don't put in, and then straight away Department of Infrastructure, if it's not Trevor Maxwell or Hugh Morgan, they're coming back to us almost immediately. They're very upfront with us, they're very honest, and we don't have to wait too long to get things done. So look, I'm maybe just going against the grain here, but I couldn't have a bad word said about them. So as far as whatever's happening between Sinn Féin and SDLP, I personally take no part of it, because I have a fantastic relationship with our two representatives here in the Department of Infrastructure. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Catherine. We have a number of speakers here. I'm presuming this is all on the DFI issue, so we can try and keep it as brief as possible. Councillor Taylor, you're in next there.
Yes, Chair, and I will try and keep it brief. Chair, listen, I would have no criticism of any, you know, local DFI roads officials. There, you know, any time I speak to, you know, any official, you know, I have a couple that I work with in particular in the area, they certainly try their best to do whatever they can. There is a resource issue. There's no point saying there isn't. And I'm not getting at the minister for that either, because I understand whenever my former colleague, but he still is my colleague, but when he was in the ministerial role, Danny Kennedy, he found himself in a similar situation regarding lack of funding at times. And it's not an easy role to be in whenever you're working with limited resources. But I think I would like some clarity, and I did speak to road service officials about this, but I didn't. Charlie Casey's laughing, I can see as well here. but I think we do need some clarity regarding the reports about the money being handed back, you know, because that was mentioned at a recent committee meeting of Infrastructure Committee at Stormont. And And I, when I spoke to road service officials about it, I wasn't really able to get any clarity from them. So I think we do need some clarity as to why money potentially for that paperwork would be handed back whenever there is a clear need, you know, within not just area across Northern Ireland, but particularly in our own area. We are going to be parochial about it. We're going to look after our own DEAs. But I think we, you know, it would be useful to try and get an explanation as to why there is potentially money being handed back. And that's not, I'm not getting in any party politics here. I don't think that benefits anybody, but I think just for information's sake, you know, because I'm getting calls on a daily basis about roads, and the first thing people are saying to me is, you're handing so much back, you're handing this millions back, you're handing that. Why is that happening whenever there's this need for work to be carried out? So it's just, I think it'd be useful for the minister from her department point of view to try and maybe give us a bit of a new outline as to the way the whole thing's structured in terms of the finance and, you know, capital, or whatever it may be, you know, for actual resurfacing and improvement work. So, you know, I would certainly propose that we try and get some clarity from that point of view on it, because I think it would be useful for everybody for information purposes.
David, can you hold tight on a proposal? I'm conscious that Councillor Murphy made a proposal. I need to go back to him. This is getting a wee bit all over the place, but let's see who. Councillor Andrews, yeah. There's yourself, there's Billy, and then there's Mark Gibbons, and then we're going to go back to Councillor Murphy. So if you want to keep it brief, Chair, you come in there next.
I will do. It's just the only thing I'm echoing the sentiments expressed by previous Rowallan Councillor. We do have a brilliant relationship with the management team at Tayford and the Down Section Office, and a lot of times when they do their best and we go the extra mile. And as I say, you know, relationships are very much the key, and again, I can't fault the service that we get from the Department of Infrastructure staff. I've said it time and time again in the chamber on numerous occasions how fortunate to have a good section office in Seaford, and even down traffic and traffic management and all, nothing's a problem. If we ask questions, they do come back and give us answers, and if they say they can't do it now, it'll be done, and which has happened over the years. But again, thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Councillor Walker?
Chair, thank you very much, and I'll be quick. Something similar to Catherine and Terry. I don't know what's happening in Uri and South Armagh with a section down there, but I have to say that our section office is very, very helpful. And in dealing with Hugh Morgan, there, this year alone, or last year, and the start of this year alone, the number of projects he's done for myself that I have been lobbying on. You only have to look at my Facebook page this week. Three major ones he's doing in the Killalea area. And Rowallan, for me, a couple of £100,000 worth. Now, he is saying to me, Billy, I can get these done now because there's monies there before the budget. And that there, we want to get it spent. So obviously, up this way, and Hugh Morgan and Trevor Maxwell and that, they're spending the money and that. And like, it's not just £1,000 here and £1,000 there. It's big money. So I think it's a bit disingenuous that DFI locally were criticising them right across the board. I'd say the ones at Castle Navan there and at Rathkelter, I believe are doing an excellent job. Well, whenever I lobby them, they seem to be. And that, just look at my Facebook page, do you see the work that has been done over the last 3 weeks in my area? And that, so let's be clear here. You know, I don't like it whenever we're criticising them right across the board. Obviously, something's going wrong in the Newry and South Armagh area. And that's maybe what needs rectified.
Okay, Billy, thank you. Councillor Gibbons, you're in next, sir.
Yeah, just a quick one, Chair. It's a bit what, the same as what David Taylor was saying, Councillor Taylor. If we could get a wee bit of clarity, could Pete or maybe Declan McAteer give us a bit of an insight on, was there, can you explain to me as somebody new coming into this, was there an overspend, or sorry, an underspend? Was there money handed back? Just for a bit of clarity, because there's a huge discussion here. And there's both sides of it, and if we're going to get a few answers, just.
We're trying to pull it together, Mark. I appreciate where you're coming from. We can go to Councillor Traynor next, and we'll go back to Councillor Murphy. John, you're next there?
Yeah, sorry, I've just turned my camera on here again, Chair. And I suppose, Chair, listening to what's happening, I think that there is an issue that's being highlighted, and a very big issue, and it's the inflexibility of our funding model. We're on a funding model which is a year-to-year basis, which means that ministers are constrained with the budgets they have. I'm sure everyone will know, obviously, in the last week, we had Minister Swan actually saying around the inflexibility of the fund. He has £90 million, which he had to give back. And obviously, we all recognise there are great pressures on the health system. It's just unfortunate that he isn't able to spend that money in the allotted time, and so that money has to go back. So there's a bigger question here, Chair, as to the flexibility of the model that we are using for funding, and does there need to be greater work done on reviewing that model to see if there's any changes that can take place that will allow for greater flexibility for ministers to profile money accordingly to meet the needs?
Okay, thank you, John. Councillor McCallum?
Just a quick comment, on it. And we're all, we all can shout and do all things on road safety, and rightly so. But in my opinion, there's been no more of a positive response from any minister than Nicola Mallon. On the week that she's announced the road improvements to the A1, which we've all been shouting about after the inquiry from Phase 2, that the road improvements to that road, which is going to benefit everybody, and thinking of all the families that have lost their lives on our roads, particularly at that stretch, goes beyond. But when families can come together and help deliver outcomes on road safety with the minister in tow, and that's Nicola Mallon on road safety, I think this week alone she's done excellent work. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Councillor Murphy, can I go back to you? I know you made a proposal way back. It feels like about 2 hours ago now. But can you maybe, do you want to revise your proposal or make the proposal again and see if we've got a seconder?
Yes, you see, absolutely. The reason why I raised the issue is because, I didn't see any correspondence. Unfortunately, the council hadn't put it up, right? So obviously I'm reading correspondence from the Department of Finance. No correspondence. Now, if I remind people, in our letter we said we seek an increase in the overall budget for the AFI road service to allow for an increased spend with regards to pedestrian road safety measures, right? Now, we didn't get a response. At least we didn't see. I haven't even read it yet, but I'm glad that it has come in. Fair play. Oh, that's okay. But the thing about it is, why is it unfair? I have never mentioned Nicola Mallon in all the time that she's been a minister or all the time that I've been a councillor. If you want to look back over the minutes to see which minister has featured most within this council, it's certainly not Nicola Mallon, right? And I don't think it's unfair or unreasonable for me to initially make that proposal. If it touched a raw nerve with some people, so be it. The thing about it is, whenever we had a presentation from the road service, we were allowed to put in questions. And the question that I put in was for the resurfacing of John F. Kennedy Park. It's a park that was built around the 50s, the 60s. It has never been resurfaced. And the answer I got back from DFI was that, yes, we will do it, but it's subject to funding, right? Then I find out that money for roads, there's an underspend, and money has been put back into the pot, and there was no bid for the monitoring during the monitoring rounds. So I think it's reasonable for me to ask that question. I'm not attacking anybody. That's what ministers are accountable. Surely we're able, are allowed to hold them to account. That's really what it was. However, I'm glad that the letter has come in. I haven't read it yet, but I'm happy enough to withdraw the proposal.
Okay, thank you for that, Councillor Murphy. Councillor Byrne, you've been in before, so I'll let you back in for 2 seconds, if you can do it very, very briefly.
Yeah, Chair, just back on one of the other councillors' questions that had referred to me, Councillor Gibbons, and just what Councillor Murphy had said, it's not about attacking ministers. What I asked for is for ministries to work together on this, and that's where my disappointment on the letter is. When you're talking about money sent back, you hear this in the street that money was sent back, and then everybody's up in arms that the roads are a disgrace. It's not money from the $235 million in the capital spend for roads. Nicola Mallon has said consistently from she got the ministry that she needs double or treble that budget. So where you've got flagship projects in all ministries where money has to be spent under those flagship programs or be sent back, that's where money will be sent back, or where you have to reprofile. And the Minister for Finance said that reprofiling should happen to deal with the COVID crisis. So, when councillors are asking for money to be taken, that is severely underfunded at the minute. The big issue here is that the department is severely underfunded, and that is outlined in the Barton report. It's outlined by every single minister that held the department over the last 15 years, and we need to get a grip on that and work together collectively as an executive and ask the finance minister to lobby along with the rest of us for more money and push the Treasury and especially the Chancellor for more money for infrastructure. And the last point I will say, when I read the budget at the start of this fresh start, to see an 8.6% increase in infrastructure and a 72% increase in the executive made me sick. So let's prioritise there.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Byrne. Okay, is that all the comments in respect of the DFI? So we flew through all the council minutes. It was going too well, so we got to the correspondence, and then we seemed to spend a lot of time on that, but that's all good to get for everybody. So we're content then to move on to the notices of motion for tonight. Okay, so the first notice of motion on the agenda is...
Sorry, Chair, yeah. Just come back to that. I think Councillor Taylor had asked or had proposed...
Oh, Sarah, yes, thank you. I've got messages
everywhere. Yep.
Councillor Taylor,
sorry, Laura. Yeah. I was just saying, I'm making this clear, this isn't party political, because I understand, say, the pressures that ministers can be under, some, particularly from the infrastructure department. I do believe it has been underfunded over the years. There's no denying that. It was just to try and get some clarity about the funding models that are used for our district in terms of, you know, how the money's distributed. And what we heard Councillor Walker, for instance, talking about all the projects that he's been able to get done, particularly over the last couple of days. But yet others on the other side of the district are struggling to get any projects done. And so trying to find out, you know, what provisions are given to each section and how that money is supposed to be divided. And obviously the Southern Division have a role to play in that as well in terms of the overall more strategic projects, if you want to call them that, regarding road safety. So it's just to try and get some clarity about the financing of roads, whether it be capital or just road repair works, to try and get, you know, I think we require that information so we can get a better understanding as to how it is administered by our local section offices. I think that's required going by the discussion that we've had tonight. So it's to try and get some clarity from the minister in that regard.
What are sitting there smirking, David?
I don't know that.
The chairperson has dropped off. I'm just trying to get her back in.
Henry, you're envious of me.
Believe your first
name. You are right. You are absolutely right. What, David?
Chair, can I just remind members that the council meeting continues to be recorded?
Councillor Devlin, I think, is back in now.
Taylor was making his proposal. Had you finished making your proposal, David?
Yeah, sure I had. Yeah.
Okay, and do we have a seconder for that proposal? Maybe it hasn't flashed up on my screen yet. Do we have anybody wanting to second? Yeah, Councillor Murphy. Okay. Yep, proposed by Councillor Taylor, seconded by Councillor...
Sure, I'm starting to get worried there, but now there's a mistake.
All we need one, David. So proposed by you and seconded by Councillor Murphy. Are we all in agreement there, or do we need to take a vote? Sorry if I missed the actual first part of that. Are we content with that? Okay, yeah, okay, that's carried then. Thank you, David. Sorry about that for having to jump back to you there. Right. Okay. Thank you, folks. Okay, if we can move on then to item number 17, which is our notice of motion for this evening. The first one we have before us that will be heard by Council will be Councillor Andrews. Terry, if you want to read out your motion and advise who's seconding it, and then we can open it up for debate.
Thanks very much, Chair. In relation to, first of all, I'll be proposing the motion, and Councillor Declan McAteer will be seconding the same. I just took a wee log jam there. The motion is worded as follows. As part of his COVID-19 response, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rishi Sunak, increased universal credit payments by £20 per week until March 21. This was a welcome and timely initiative given increased heating, energy and food costs from the pandemic. It must be noted that not all benefits were increased, and so some in need did not get the support. We must remember benefit cuts in real terms took place over the past 10 years. However, this increase, for what it is worth, is welcome. The Chancellor of the Exchequer now needs to ensure that the £20 increase extends beyond March of this year. As the economic facts show, this extra amount has helped families and claimants to meet the extra costs due to the pandemic and has supported many local businesses. In this motion, we are asking that Newry, Mourne and Down District Council to support the campaign to retain this extra payment and extend it to other benefits. The 120,000 children living in poverty in Northern Ireland deserve any assistance available to them. Since this motion was tabled by the chairperson on the 18th of January, a non-binding motion was presented and debated in the House of Commons at Westminster by the Labour Party, calling for the universal credit top-up to be kept in place before the deadline of the 31st of March of this year. The result of the vote was 278-0, including six Conservative Tory MPs, led by a former Works and Pensions Secretary who defied the Conservatives' decision to simply abstain on the vote instead voting with Labour in the lobbies. If the deadline is not extended, the poorest will be devastated by the loss of £20 per week. The Joseph Rowntree Foundation has suggested that 16 million people will be affected by this proposal. 500,000 people will be driven into poverty, including 200,000 children, while 500,000 people who are in poverty and hardship will find themselves experiencing extreme hardship. The Chancellor of the Exchequer is contemplating a one-off payment of £500 to over 6 million benefit claimants rather than continue with the annual cost of over £1,000 per claimant through the £20 per week. This proposed cut will be devastating for countless families and claimants already struggling and finding it hard to make ends meet and doing without. And tabling this motion tonight, Chairperson and colleagues, I'm making this urgent appeal at this meeting for the government, especially the Chancellor, to do the right and decent thing and cancel the cutback to universal credit that will come into effect on the 1st of April if the deadline is not extended. And if the motion is adopted by council and with indulgence of members, that we write to the other 10 councils seeking their support for this motion and write to the Prime Minister and Chancellor of the Exchequer outlining our unequivocal support in extending the existing top-up to universal credit to remain. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Terry. I see Councillor McAteer seconding your motion. Deck, if you want to close this point, and then Billy, I'll come back to you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Yeah, and certainly, and in second the motion, just to draw people's attention to the outworkings of this and some of the anomalies in it, you know, this protection reduced to the one-off payment of £500 to brings it back to £9.61 a week for however long that lasts. But there's a certain warped operation of universal credit that has seen that the effect of removing this particular allowance, coupled with the fact that when a single employed person amount of universal credit was up by £20, that brought them into a particular qualifying stratus, which allowed them then to avail of rent assistance. But now, because this has happened, that will automatically be removed. But then to compound matters further, if you're, and we have quite a lot of them in our area, self-employed individuals who had previously been allowed tax credits, then went on to the universal credit, and they lost their right then to tax credits following this proposed introduction, never to be reinstated again. Now they've a double whammy when they had their £20 removed totally and then simultaneously lose their tax credits, never to be returned again. So, like, there's an awful lot in this, and I do think that it's serious work needs to be done on it to correct both the cut itself and then the anomalies surrounding it as well, because a lot of people are suffering really, really, really heavily. And I do concentrate a lot of the self-employed cross-border workers who've had a hell of a lot to put up with over the last 12 months. And some of those people, you know, have gone from a reasonable income with all their commitments and never been on benefits in their lives and not entering the system at any point, now find themselves in really, really dire situation, you know. So thank you, Chair, for that. That's my formally seconded. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Declan. Councillor Walker, you're in next, sir.
Sure, thank you very much. And firstly, I want to commend Councillor Andrews for bringing the motion. The DUP will be supporting it. It's a very good motion, timely motion. I see, as someone who works in a constituency office, I see the hardship that's experienced out there by families, and that, and believe it or not, £20 a week is a godsend to them. So it is. You know, it mightn't sound like much, but it's a godsend. Some of these families at £20 would maybe feed them for a couple of days. So it would. And that's just a stark reality. And I'm very, very concerned that they're talking about a one-off payment of £500. Now, you know what's going to happen here? They're going to get the one-off payment of £500. It's not going to be spent on what it should be spent on. Maybe food, clothing, or whatever. It's maybe going to be spent in off sales, going to be spent in bookie shops, etc. And that's what will happen. People will get this money and they'll squander it in other things. Whereas when they're getting it as a £20 payment per week, it's more likely to go on the basic essentials such as food and that. And that's why we will be totally supporting the motion in relation to it. And I think it's a shame and disgrace that they are talking about withdrawing it, especially in this climate, you know, and that. So we totally support the motion.
Thank you, Billy. Councillor Finnegan.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, no, I want to welcome the motion as well. It's certainly something I deal with people on a day-to-day basis on universal credit and the issues, and it's just people who have been severely disadvantaged due to universal credit. Certainly, Sinn Féin MP, Mickey Brady, has actually championed this. He's asked the British government to extend the universal credit increase beyond March. As I say, it's welcomed. Dealing with people, £20 is a lot of money. And what can only be described as a disastrous scheme of universal credit, it's terrible for people. It's a terrible system for people to be on. So this £20, particularly in the pandemic time, is certainly welcomed. And I think it's worth noting that, to just remember, this review of benefits is another example of Tory austerity. But I do want to note that well done to our own ministers that they could come up, you know, during the pandemic time to mitigate against these and support the most vulnerable. They introduced a number of changes to the social security system to make it easier for those affected by COVID-19 to access financial support during the crisis. In particular, enhancing discretionary support fund to provide a grant payment for short-term living expenses for people affected by COVID-19 and experiencing crisis or financial hardship. And then later increased the level of award available, raised the income threshold, and also included students in this. Look, I just want to welcome the motion and thank you very much for it.
Thank you, Aoife. Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. Yep, certainly our party will also be supporting this motion. It is very timely. I think, you know, it's clear that the issues that we have from an economic point of view regarding COVID aren't going to go away anytime soon. And that's obviously having an impact on all family incomes. And certainly the support that's been provided by, you know, through the universal credit, this additional £20 has been vital to many households at this time. You know, I in my day role, I undertake welfare support work, and I know I'm seeing on a regular basis, you know, the impact that this additional money, you know, is having for people. So I think it would be counterproductive for the government to even consider doing this at this time. It just wouldn't make sense. That's the reality of it. It's vital that as much support as possible can be provided to every family at this stage to ensure that we get through this difficult time that we are all enduring. So, you know, I hope the government sees sense in that they don't proceed with it. As I say, I think it would be counterproductive for them to do that. And I think it's clear that every political party, certainly in Northern Ireland and even in the mainland, are very, you know, very strong in support to retain this. So certainly I hope they think this over and see sense on it and make an extension on this provision at this stage. But I don't think there's any time appropriate really in this short term anyway to be making these sort of decisions. It's vital that government offer as much support as possible to get us through this difficult period. Thank you, Chair.
David, Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, no, I mean, I will be brief. I totally concur with all the points raised already, and just to sort of add our weight and our support to the motion. And again, for what it's worth, our MP Seamus Farry has in Westminster, you know, spoken and supported the general premise of this motion as well. So happy to support, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andy. I suppose just to say myself, Terry, you know, thanks for tabling this one. This payment is absolutely vital for those people, and we're living in such tough times. It really is just awful to think that there's even a chance of that being removed from people. So thanks for tabling that. So maybe, Terry, can I hand it back to you to sum up?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And first of all, I would like to thank wholeheartedly the previous speakers who they've spoke, and it's heartening to see, you know, that United support very much in action here this evening, and it's sending out a clear message from the council, and just sending a simple message to the powers that be in Westminster just to stop this cut. And again, it was a very good debate, and it was a very heartening debate, and, you know, as I say, just words kind of describe how so many families and people, what they're going through, and how all this has impacted on them, especially in the times that we're in. But again, to the colleagues and all, thank you very much for your support. Much appreciated.
Absolutely, Terry. I think the feeling by the virtual room seems as if everybody's in support of your motion, unless I hear otherwise. Okay, that motion is then carried. Thank you, Terry. If we can move on then, item number
8.
You'll see from your agenda was a notice of motion regarding the steel import duty, but that notice of motion has been removed from the agenda. The issue has been, thankfully, has been resolved. So if we move on now to item number 19, which is from Councillor McMurray on the outdoor recreation group. In line with standing orders, Andy, that's going to be deferred to AHC. So if you're content to read the motion out and advise me who's seconding the motion, we can defer it to committee.
Thank you, Chair. So in light of the increase in visitors accessing outdoor amenities which are prevalent in our district, this council shall, within its structures, create a group regarding outdoor recreation within the district. The primary objectives of this group will be to manage, promote and educate regarding outdoor recreation within our district. This will be a constituted group within the council. Its makeup will be representative of both statutory and voluntary sector agencies, as well as those who have a remit for development and management of outdoor recreation. Communication will be made in the first instance with national government bodies and agencies to ascertain what role councils in other areas of Ireland, Britain and Europe have had in positively managing access and recreation with our outdoor spaces. I won't dwell too much on it, you know what I mean? But the emphasis really is about education, promotion and management. And I think, as far as I know, Councillor Enright is there to second.
Just to cut you off, sorry, understand the orders, we can't actually sort of talk about the motion now.
Aye, no worries.
And then we bat it off to a committee. Sorry about that. Who's going to be second in your motion?
Councillor Clark had very graciously agreed, but I see Councillor Enright's in there as well, so I'm not sure he ever wants to, whatever okay. suits.
Okay. Councillor Enright, your name's up on the thing. Are you happy to second that motion that will go to the AHC committee?
I am, but if Clark wants to take precedence over me, I'd bow to his bow to him on it.
Okay, look, you second it there, Cadogan, in the instant message show. Will you be fine with that? That'll go to the AHC committee, then it can be debated there. Thank you, Councillor McMurray, for that one. If we can now move on to item number 20, that was the one that I made reference to at the start of the meeting that had been emailed in but wasn't on the agenda. That's the notice of motion from Councillor McKevitt. Karen, if you're happy to read out the motion in line with standing orders, it's likely you'll be seconding it, and that motion then will be deferred to Equality and Good Relations Committee.
Yeah, thanks very much, Laura. John Traynor is going to be seconding the motion. This council supports the choice of students to wear trousers as opposed to skirts and vice versa as part of their regulation uniform. In this age of equality, fairness and indeed comfort, no person should be forced to wear an item of uniform which is traditionally gender related. This council will make contact with all schools in the city and district of both primary and secondary level to encourage and promote that this choice be included in a uniform policy. Furthermore, to contact the Education Authority and Education Minister seeking their support in this matter.
Thank you, Karen. That'll be seconded by Councillor Traynor, so that will be deferred then to the Equality and Good Relations Committee. Thank you. Councillor O'Mara, I see you've got a question there.
No, I didn't realise that was going to be deferred, so I was coming in with a question after that, 100%.
Okay, no bother, sorry, because that was left off the agenda to sort of send out to members and which ones are being deferred. It's going to the Equality and Good Relations Bar. Thank you. Okay, if we're content then to move on to item number 21, the notice of motion from Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Kern regarding student support grants. And that will be heard at full council. If you want to go on ahead there, Gary.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, can indeed.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And Councillor Kern, I hope, is going to second this. Chair, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected all citizens and the impact on our young people has been severe. This council recognises the difficulties faced by those young people in full-time third-level education, both at universities and further education colleges, who because of restrictions are unable to attend classes in person or live in student accommodation which they've paid for.
This council recognises that many university students have found themselves suffering financial hardship, which has caused significant distress and led to poor mental health. This council calls on university accommodation providers and private landlords who have not provided rent waivers to do so immediately, and calls on the Department for the Economy and Department of Finance to develop and fund a student support grant for all full-time third-level students, many of whom cannot gain any employment at this time and are unable to claim benefits. Chair, it was the morning of Thursday, the 12th of March, last year, 2020, in Washington, where the then Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, made his announcement that schools and colleges in the Republic of Ireland would close at the end of that day. My son phoned me. It was the last day he would set foot in Dublin City University, and I met him off the bus the next day, and he would not spend another night in the accommodation which he had paid for the end of the year. It, in vain, I suggested to him to write to his landlord in Dublin and ask him to release him from his contract. In the following weeks, my son's friends and their families at university in Belfast and other places contacted me in similar circumstances, and we know all our MLAs and MPs and where their constituency officers were contacted last summer with similar situations. Fortunately for my son, it was his final year at university. However, the students of the 2020-21 academic year have had to self-isolate on arrival at university and do the same before they've travelled home. They're advised not to travel home at weekends to the jobs they needed to support themselves. The very same jobs, sure, in the hospitality and non-essential retail sectors, which currently no longer exist. In many other places, including the Republic of Ireland and Wales, students have benefited specific financial support schemes. Unfortunately, not yet in the north of Ireland. The benefit system is stacked against students. They're not eligible for universal credit. And students are typically paying rents, for example, in Belfast, up to £500 a month. Some students pay high travel costs back from across the water, as they've been sent home at very short notice. Chair, different maybe for an adult. None of us are having much fun at the moment. However, you know, when you get to a certain stage of life, one year or the next maybe is not a whole bit of difference. But when you're in your late teens or early 20s, you're only 18 months, you're only 19 months, only 20 months or 21. You know, these students have nearly had these years to live out of their lives, and they're looking out, you know, how they're going to finish these courses, how they're going to pay for the accommodation which they're not even living in. And they're also thinking about what opportunities are going to be out there for me when I do indeed eventually finish this degree or course. So, Chair, I would ask councillors to support the motion. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gary. Councillor Kern, you're in next. Or to second the motion? Dermot, are you there?
To come in, sorry, wasn't mute there for a bit. Sorry.
You're fine.
But this is, I want to thank Councillor Stokes for bringing this motion to the council. I think it's a very important motion, especially for young people, and he's covered it very well. You know, they're in a sense about the problems that's facing these students now at the present time. But I just want to just point out that on the financial hardship that they're experiencing in living accommodation, in living rented accommodation, due to, and he mentioned it too as well, the high monthly rents that they have to pay, £500 a month in Belfast in some areas. That's £6,000 a year. And that's a vast amount of money for young people, and you said 18 years of age and 19 years of age. And normally they would go out and try to get part-time jobs to come and meet this requirement of this money. But unfortunately, and they've got those jobs mostly in hotels and restaurants and places, they get the hospitality sector. But that's not possible at this present point of time because those are all closed down. So therefore, we call upon, as he said at the land, I'm not going into any more detail because he's covered it very well, this is what he said. But you know, I mean, to help these young people, I was talking to one young guy, and he's really worried about, unfortunately, his family can't meet the demands to help him at this present point of time. And he's really, really worried. And as already said, you know, they could have went out and got part-time jobs, but there's no part-time jobs in the hospitality business at the present point in time. Therefore, as already at the motion states, we call upon the ministers, both ministers of economy and finance, to set up a grant fund to help these students throughout this challenging time. And I support the motion.
Thank you very much, Dermot. Councillor Kyle, you're next, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Just like to thank Councillor Stokes for bringing the motion first. I suppose we all recognise the hardship faced by students, none more so themselves. I have three children in third level education, all of them studying in Belfast. So we understand exactly what Gary's saying there. It's a very difficult position for them all, stressful, and it takes its toll on their mental health. But Sinn Féin has consistently been calling for increased financial support for these students who are experiencing the financial hardship. Like, we do recognise the difficulties that's been faced by these young people. No jobs, you're going to get there, they're struggling with the rent and stuff. And like, many of them are having to continue to pay that rent, even though, you know what I mean, they're back living at home, paying fees to access online classes, you know, like when there have been no allowances for the lack of face-to-face tuition within even the grade boundaries if they're a final year student. So, like, it is tough on them, and like, they're not getting the full learning experience, even at first year. One of my own daughters is in, she's at first year. It's not getting the full experience that they signed up for and paid for. But I suppose at Sinn Féin, we have been, our representatives right across the island have been lobbying, and been lobbying our economy minister for compensation for these student rents and for fees, both here and for our students that are living, you know what I mean, elsewhere. Now, in recent days, the Economy Minister responded to some of our Assembly colleagues advising that she intended to bring forward a proposal for additional financial support. But it's gone on record, you know, the Finance Minister, Conor Murphy, has clearly stated on more than one occasion his commitment to allocate money to, you know what I mean, the Department of Economy to support students. So the onus is definitely therefore on the Economy Minister, Deanna Dawes, to move fast and move quick on this issue because we're sitting here in March. So therefore, I was wondering if Councillor Stokes would maybe accept an amendment through the motion just to read, because Conor has come out on several occasions and said that he's committed to this. So just on the second paragraph there, just after the word where it says, so immediately, just there's not provided rent waivers to do so immediately, and welcome that the Finance Minister's commitment to support students and urges the Economy Minister to develop a student support grant. Because Conor has come out and said that he is willing to allocate money to a grant like this, but the onus really have to push back onto the Economy Minister, Deanna Dawes, to do so. So I would just like to ask Councillor Stokes for a good consideration to that amendment, please. I think Councillor Hanlon's happy to second it.
Okay, I'll just see first of all, Councillor Stokes. Gary, would you be willing to accept Roisin's amendment there?
Sure. I mean, if that is the case, yes. I mean, I thank the council for the information. If that is the case, that would seem reasonable. If the finance minister is willing to make the money available, then that's good news. I would certainly accept that. If Dermot would also accept that, if Dermot's happy enough for that as well.
Okay, thank you. If we can maybe move on then, so if you're happy to accept that, Gary, we'll move on then. Councillor Taylor, you were in there after Roisin.
Thank you, Chair. Listen, I want to thank Councillor Stokes and Councillor Fern for taking this motion forward. It's something actually, you know, I've had, you know, several families approach me over the last number of months regarding this very issue. In one instance, one of the students was, you know, paying for their, you know, accommodation really through working in a restaurant. And had only really commenced that employment within a number of weeks, and then was told, listen, obviously because of the restrictions and issues that there were, you know, that were implemented after that, there then that their job was no longer available to them. So that placed, you know, severe financial strain both on the student, a worry and a deep anxiety and distress on them and even their family, because the family obviously was requiring that, you know, bit of work that, you know, that student was doing that to help pay towards the cost of university, which is obviously significant anyway. So, yeah, and there wasn't really much leeway being offered by their landlord at that stage, unfortunately, you know, and that's hopefully what something like this here would help, you know, address that there, you know, with the content of the motion that Councillor Stokes and Councillor Curran have proposed. And as I say, there is other cases that I've been dealing with, and I had, you know, corresponded directly with universities, both on the mainland and here in Northern Ireland. And whilst there has been some movement, you know, from local universities on this, you know, I think it's, you know, it's required, there's, you know, I think more clarity is required, you know, in the next number of months regarding this as well, what support students can be provided with to help with these costs, because the reality is they're not using the accommodation. And in some ways the terms and conditions of the contracts that they sign aren't being fulfilled because of that, you know, so it's, you know, I think that there is, you know, a need for something to be developed, and I think reading, you know, if I was reading something actually just before the meeting this evening, I think there is something afoot here between the economy minister and the finance minister working on this here, so hopefully something positive does come out, you know, on this in the coming days, and students will have this one, you know, that this one issue is all for them, that'll hopefully reduce the anxiety and distress that they're under, because it's difficult enough at the minute having to obviously study in the circumstances that they are. It's not ideal. It's not, you know, the situation that they wanted to, you know, to be living with, and certainly even missing out on the university experience as well, in a way that that helps your character and develop it, you know, as well. So I think, you know, anything that can be provided, you know, it needs to be done, but I'm hoping, you know, going by what I was reading this evening, that there is going to be some positive movement on that, and hopefully the economy minister and the finance minister can get that over the line in the coming days. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you, David. And Councillor Owens, you're in next. I'm not sure, Catherine, what screen you're looking at, because definitely the one that I have, you were after David.
Sorry, Catherine, just to say to you, my screen, it says I'm first, but I'm not.
Oh, it doesn't matter. No, okay. You know what, in all fairness, I think it could well be my broadband again. So on mine, I'm next, but never worry, it doesn't matter, we'll not fall out. As someone who has recently been through third level education myself, the DUP welcomes this motion brought forward by Councillor Stokes and Councillor Curran. I know the Economy Minister has been in communication with universities and student bodies, and I am sure the Minister will be considering all options available to her. Students are facing unprecedented times and difficult times. This is a time where those younger students should be flourishing into independent adulthood, and this horrible disease has ripped that away from them. To top it off, they are not getting the same familiarity of teaching as previous years, as Zoom reading is no substitute for the lecture theatre. It is right and proper, therefore, that students get some form of compensation and protection for costs incurred. In some cases, students may not have set foot into their rental accommodation, which is what Councillor Stokes has already mentioned. So it is only right to support and that the support is provided to our students. I am hoping, though, that Councillor Stokes and Curran would accept a small amendment. I am asking for the words young people to be removed and the words students to be used to replace it. As of 2018-2019, there were approximately 237,000 mature students in the UK. As someone who has been there myself, starting back into education at 35 years of age, these students may well have mortgages, children to support, while juggling homeschooling and self-directed study of their own, meaning that these mature students are unable to work. I am sure it is an innocent oversight by the two councillors and would ask that mature students are not excluded by the wording of this motion. And if accepted, Councillor Hannah, I am sure, is happy to second my amendment. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Councillor Owen. Can you just recap there, sorry, exactly what the amendment was and whereabouts it's coming in on the motion there, so I can go back to Gary?
Yes, certainly, no problem. Let me get the motion up again. So I think it's literally the first sentence and the second sentence.
Yeah, you can actually see it there, yes. And, yeah.
Are you with me? Yeah, so literally it just says young people and I suppose flying the flag there for the oldies that are in third year education. If you wouldn't mind changing that to students, I would be really grateful. Thank you.
Sure, I'd be glad to accept that, and I would apologise for the oversight, and I'm surprised, I mean, and it was rather ageist of Dermot and I to
thank you, folks. Okay, Councillor McKevitt, you're in next there. Oh, sorry, I am jumping ahead of people now. Councillor Hammond, you're in first. Apologies.
No bother, Chair. Thank you. Well, again, I was going to come in and endorse Roisin's amendment, but as Councillor Owen rightly pointed out, we can't be ageist and there will be mature students affected by it. I suppose, like, you know, just not to go over everything that the councillors have said previously, but this has been so difficult for students. You know, all of course their level are affected financially, but you know, all those who are remotely learning at the minute are, you know, they're facing very, very difficult circumstances, and there cannot be any kind of replacement for face-to-face teaching and the experience of going to university. Speaking, like, I know it was probably 100 years ago now, but when I went to university, it was totally self-funded. So, you know, I can only imagine if you're heading off to uni thinking that you're going to be able to fund yourself, and then for it to be met with part-time jobs going, it's so stressful for them. And I know it's not a one-size-fits-all, unfortunately, because, you know, dealing with it through the office, there's so many different scenarios. You know, we have we have students who are in private accommodation, some are in halls, some halls are given rent breaks, others aren't, just depending on what university you're with. Then we have the issue of the students who are residing in England and Liverpool, etc. So, you know, it is a difficult one to tackle, but it has been well documented that Minister Murphy is committed to try and provide financial assistance. So I do welcome the motion, and I think it's an important one that we raise via the council. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Una. Councillor McKevitt.
Yeah, thanks very much, Laura. Just for clarification, can I ask that the two amendments be read out again, because I haven't got them up on screen, just to make sure that everybody's been written to on this important issue. Finance Minister and Minister Dodds, and I think Catherine might have added somebody else in there, just not sure, but just for clarity, can I ask for that to be read out again? Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Sarah, do you have that there, maybe?
Yeah, I've actually just put it into the chat, but I can read it out if required.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in the chat now just yet, so maybe it's still coming through.
Yeah, it is quite lengthy. I can read it out. It says, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected all citizens and that the impact on students has been severe. This council recognises the difficulties faced by those students in full-time third-level education, both at universities and further education colleges, who, because of restrictions, are unable to attend classes in person or live in student accommodation which they have paid for. This council recognises that many university students have found themselves suffering financial hardship which has caused significant distress and led to poor mental health. This council calls on university accommodation providers and private landlords who have not provided rent waivers to do so immediately, and welcomes the Finance Minister's commitment to support students, and urges the Economy Minister to develop a student support grant for all full-time third-level students, many of whom cannot gain any employment at this time and are unable to claim benefits.
Thank you, Sarah. Gary, are you content with that?
Yes, Chair, I'm happy with that, yeah.
Okay, let's see now, who do we have coming in next? Okay, if we put that to the vote then, are all members content? Okay, that's the motion then carried. We can then move forward on to the next notice of motion, which is, oh, sorry, let's go back, Gary, if you just sum up. I'm getting completely lost.
Yeah, I'm not teaching, Chair, and thank you. I suppose a couple of quick things. I just want to thank all the council for the support, and we look forward to this, a speedy resolution to this. I must say, I thought I was having fun with just one lad at finishing off. It's great. I had to take my hat off to Councillor Hall at 3 in full-time education. And I suppose, I mean, it is a very, and I think Councillor Hanlon picked this up, a couple of years ago I was staying at a work event in Malone Road in Belfast. I thought I'd wander into one of the old haunts, into the Botanic Inn, and where I'd been 30 years previously, and it was a Thursday night. And I said to the barman, "Where is everybody?" Because you couldn't move in the place in the early 90s. And he said, I worked here 30 years ago. He says, but students all go home and work now. He says, I'm there at the weekend. He says, change times. So, yeah, it's definitely, change times for students, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, Gary, thanks for that summing up. I jumped on ahead of you there. So I think by the sounds of the way the meeting's going there, everybody's in agreement with that. So that motion then is carried. So thank you for that. Okay, so the next notice of motion is one from Councillor Sharvin about the Child Poverty Task Force. Gareth, you want to read your motion out, and I think I'm actually going to second it, and then we can go from there.
Yes, Chair, that's correct, GR. Seconding the motion, this council notes with alarm the Department of Communities Family Resources Survey 2018-2019, which showed that 122,000 children in Northern Ireland live in relative poverty, 24% of children, with 109,000 of those living in absolute poverty, and expresses deep concern that these figures have increased significantly since the previous year, have not improved at all in the last 5 years. The rise of the Universal Credit Claim Account and expected end of the furlough scheme could see a further increase in these numbers, with a two-child tax credit rule and benefit cap only adding to the pressure on families with children. This council calls on the Minister for Communities to immediately convene a child poverty task force to set out how her department will reduce child poverty by next year and over the next decade. Chair, I bring this motion to council to highlight and bring awareness the challenges that many families, in particular children, are facing in our society. And as previous motions highlighted in universal credit payments and student support grant motions this evening, it clearly shows the challenges that many in our society are facing. In the Department of Communities Family Resources Survey, it shows that 122,000 children in Northern Ireland are living in relative poverty and 109,000 of those living in absolute poverty. If we consider the previous years, there has been an increase of over 19,000 further children living in relative poverty, of which 17,000 is in absolute poverty. And those figures themselves are frightening. In the Family Resources Survey, it also indicated 81,000 children in relative poverty live in a household with at least one adult in employment. That is nearly two-thirds of all children living in poverty. With the COVID pandemic and the increase in universal claim account rising and the expected furlough scheme to be ended, we could see that further increase in these numbers. Further to this, obviously, as mentioned in the motion, the two child tax credit rule and benefit cap will really force these families to make choices with the pressures that they are facing on how they survive. In the new decade and the new approach, it committed to establishing and implementing an anti-poverty strategy. But the acting minister at the time stated that the anti-poverty strategy will not be published until December 2021. Chair, these families and children can't wait this long for a strategy that could make a real difference. And this is why I asked this council to write to the minister to ensure that we are protecting the children within our communities and work together to tackle the poverty in our young people and families. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Gareth. And I was very keen to second this motion. I seen you had a table. This is one that's very close to my own heart as a parent. You may have seen before Christmas there as council chair, I visited some of the local food banks in December and engaged with those within the community and voluntary sector who really are doing their utmost to assist and tackle what has been described to me as a tsunami of poverty. This situation is very, very real. I note that the 2018-19 Family Resources Survey indicated that 81,000 children living in relative poverty live in a household with at least one adult in employment. And that's why it shocked me and what I did see before Christmas. Families who have always been in employment are really struggling now. They're struggling like never before, struggling to pay for the very basic heat, electricity and food. This is just shocking and a really poor indictment on government, and not simply the Tories across the water, but right here at home as well. And I really do hope that such calls are listened to and action is taken, as these families simply can't afford to wait. I suppose, in fairness, our society can't afford to wait either. So thanks, Gareth, for tabling something that is so important and so pressing. So if we move on then, I think the first councillor to come in there is Councillor Hanlon. Una, do you want to go on ahead there?
Yeah, and I do appreciate you bringing this motion to council, and I'm sure Minister Hargey will be well able to articulate what her department has done so far to try and tackle child poverty and try to push the issue forward. You know, there is, as Councillor Sharvin alluded to, there is a social inclusion strategy being developed by the executive, and it is there to tackle inequalities and obstacles affecting our communities. What I would probably say is, you know, it's quite apt tonight that we're talking about, you know, targeting ministers and, you know, writing to one minister. You know, the Department of Communities is the lead on this, but not all the issues are just solely part part and parcel of the Department of Community, so they do need to be addressed across the executive department. If we look at, for example, what has happened over the pandemic, you know, the Sinn Féin at the minute have a holiday hunger private members bill going through, and I would encourage people to feed into that consultation, because, you know, that is a very real issue. So poverty can come under a lot of different umbrellas. If we look at what the Education Department has done in terms of period poverty, the free school meals, you know, there's so many different things, and not least the weekly food distribution during the pandemic by the Department of Community. So, I mean, I can rehearse all these things all day. We know what's tried to be addressed during the pandemic and longer term. But I would ask that, you know, we do write to the Department of Health and the Department of Education as well, because I do think that those departments will be intertwined in tackling this going forward. And yeah, December 2021, it does need to be addressed now, but it's not that far away. And, you know, I do think if there's anything that could be done to expedite it, I would assume that Minister Hargey would be trying her best to do that. Thank you.
Thanks very much for that. Una, Councillor Sharp, are you willing to accept that amendment, I think, that it is proposed there in terms of writing to the other two departments?
Yeah, Chair. As I stated at the end of my speak there, you know, it is about partnership and tackling child poverty, so I'm more than happy to include that we write to the Department of Communities, Education and Health and bring that partnership together.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks, Anna. I know you also pointed out the period poverty. I know Pat Catley, MLA, is also doing like a private members bill through Stormont on period poverty. So it's definitely something that's been flagged up to me here locally by a number of sort of community groups and very much in recent times. So that's a good one. If people can get involved in that as well, it'll be really, really useful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
If we did have a motion last year through our own council, brought by myself as well. So that's very relevant.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Anna. Councillor Taylor, you're in next there.
Yeah, Chair. Yeah, we are obviously very happy to support the motion as well. You know, I think any elected representative, you know, we're all committed to ensuring that, you know, that all our children across Northern Ireland are given the best chances in life. And it is concerning when you see the figures that have been outlined tonight about the number of children that are, you know, living in relative poverty, because it has an impact on many, you know, aspects of their life if they find themselves in that situation. You know, even, you know, what you see in many working class areas, for instance, you know, educational underachievement is one example of that. And that's why I think it is, as Councillor Hanlon has mentioned, it is, you know, useful to correspond with the various departments on this, because it does have an impact on various aspects of a child's life if they are finding themselves living in relative poverty. So I think, you know, it's incumbent upon, you know, all the departments that have, you know, a remit, you know, to deal with this issue, to do all that they can to ensure that, you know, a proper strategy is put in place to identify the problems that do exist and try and find, you know, proposals, you know, that will try and resolve it. And it will be difficult to totally eradicate it. I'm not under any illusion about that. And I think everybody, you know, is under that, you know, would it be of the same opinion. But I think we know we should do all that we can to offer every one of our children, you know, the best possible chances in life. And you know, I think the executive, you know, hopefully can make that commitment going forward to drawing up a full strategy to deal with this. So, you know, thanks to the, you know, proposer, Councillor Sharp, and Councillor yourself, Chair, for bringing forward this motion tonight. And I hope certainly that the executive will take this on board and move fairly swiftly on it to bring forward an, you know, appropriate strategy for dealing with this. Thank you.
Thanks very much, David. Councillor Hannah.
Thanks, Chair. The DUP group are happy to support the motion too, and thanks, Gareth, for bringing that forward. Just one simple statistic there, Gareth. I don't know if you know this or not there, but children in poverty in Northern Ireland are at twice the level of what it is in GB at this moment in time. I know there's certain areas in GB, possibly in some inner cities there, that's similar to ours, but in general, child poverty actually has impacted twice as much in Northern Ireland as it is. And there's a lot of problems that there is in Northern Ireland. The level of pay is one to start with. So it is the level of pay is a lot lower in Northern Ireland, and through their parents, that impacts on children as well. As you said, there is a number of ministers has to deal with this here, and that we want to get our parents better qualified. So we do. We need to get them to a situation where they're more skilled and more employable, and in turn better paid jobs. So there's quite a number of things here that need to be done. That's across a number of ministries. So, Gareth, thank you very much for bringing that forward, and us and the DUP are more than happy to support your motion.
Thank you, Glenn. Councillor McMurray? Are you there, Andy?
Yeah, he's on mute.
Oh.
Is that better? Yeah.
That's better than I am. Yep, go on ahead.
Do apologise. No, we're happy to support and thank Councillor Sharman and yourself, Chair Devlin, to bring this forward. I mean, like, you know, in correspondence with some people, and, you know, like, you know, you're getting coached like it's dire family homes that have lost all hope and dignity. You know, I mean, these are you know, accurate sort of, you know, first hand accounts. Similarly, I'm sure if some of you guys have seen the Belfast-based doctor, you know, recounting times where she was seeing children stuffing toast. You know, children stuffing toast into their nappies because they don't know when they're going to eat again. I mean, see, these are some of the things that are going on, and it's just it's harrowing. It's makes you upset and angry at the same time. It's just probably two of the worst feelings to have in regards to this. Again, you know, the numbers you quite rightly recite in the motion is there, but also again, Dr. Philip Ashton, you know, the UN Rapporteur for Poverty, reporting his last visit to Britain and NI. I mean, you have to ask yourself the question, why is the UN Rapporteur on Poverty even visiting a G7 economy? I mean, this really is, it has the element of political choice about it. You know, I've been liaising with obviously our, you know, party on this, and, you know, and as you quite rightly, I think as Councillor Hanlon said, you know, it does require, you know, health, it does require the Department of Education, and it does require the Department of Communities to come together, and maybe that's exactly what the essence of this task force will do, is that, it will bring people together in order to sort of, to tackle this. But yes, no, certainly we're very, very happy to support and thankful for all the points made, and I can only concur with them, unfortunately. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Andy. Okay, Gareth, I think that's all the speakers who have indicated have come in, so we hand back to you then to sum up.
Yeah, Chair, and I don't really need to sum up too much. Just like to thank those that spoke on it, and appreciate the input as well. And the aim of getting this task force and strategy in place is also for us as a council and councillors, how we can help deliver the strategy in dealing with child poverty. But would like to thank everyone for their contributions, Chair.
Thanks very much, Gareth. There seems to be consensus there, so that motion then is passed. Thank you. Okay, if we move on then to item number 23, notice the motion on the Brexit Shared Prosperity Fund. So in line with Council Stamp Notice, that motion will be deferred to the Brexit Working Group. I'd maybe ask Councillor Savage to read out the motion if he had seconded by Pete Byrne, and then it'll be deferred to the Brexit Working Group, please.
Yes, Chair. Just give me a second. Yes, Chair, the motion reads, this Council expresses deep concern about the financial consequences of Brexit for executive departments, including the loss of £70 million in EU structural funds for the Department of the Economy, regrets that the level of funding promised to the devolved institutions by the British Government will not be equivalent to EU structural funds, notes that any loss of funding will result in significant negative consequences for Northern Ireland's economy and society, expresses concern that plans to operate the UK Shared Prosperity Fund from Westminster represent moves to centralise regional development policy, and calls upon the Minister for the Economy and the Minister of Finance to urge the British Government to commit to using the Shared Prosperity Fund to replace in full the EU funding lost as a result of Brexit and operate in a way that respects devolution settlements. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mike, and that's been seconded by Pete. That will go to the Brexit Working Group. Thank you. Okay, so we move on then to item number 24. It's been tabled by Councillor Tinley. And again, Jarlath, in line with stamp orders, that's going to go to Neighbourhood Services. So if you're content to read out the motion and advise me who seconded it.
Yeah, thanks, Nora. Just read the motion. Throughout the COVID pandemic, many residents of and visitors to our district have taken the opportunity to exercise in the parks, rural roads and pathways of our towns and villages to help their physical and mental well-being, and in so doing, many have found a renewed sense and awareness of the stunning beauty of our district. Regrettably, This increased volume of cyclists and walkers has also led to a marked increase in the amount of rubbish that is discarded along those very roads and pathways. To that end, Newry Morne and Down Council will organise and supervise a district-wide big spring clean-up, particularly on our rural roads on a chosen Saturday morning this coming springtime, delivered through their respective DEAs and involving as many community groups, schools and residents of our district as possible, public health advice permitting. Council's role will be to coordinate what is happening within each DEA and to provide logistical support like litter pickers, bags, high-vis vests, rubbish collection points, etc. on request, and to engage external groups who may wish to partner us in this project. If successful, this initiative will then become an annual event for our council to lead in this time of increased environmental awareness. So thanks for that, Laura, and Cadogan Enright, I believe, will be seconding the motion.
Okay, thanks very much for that. Jarlath, okay, that'll be deferred then to neighbourhood services. Okay, so if we then move on to the last item, which isn't on the agenda, but I think you were circulated with a notice of motion earlier on this evening. And I've just noticed actually, yeah, so there's only one notice of motion per member, unfortunately. So I see there was one already being by Councillor Savage on the agenda. Is there, well, first of all, we need to get a proposer and seconder to suspend standing orders. As you know, in line with Standing Orders 20.4, we need a qualified majority, which is 80% of those present and voting here this evening. So could we perhaps get a proposer and seconder to suspend standing orders? Is that a proposer from Councillor McAteer?
Yep.
Chair, just for clarity, you're only suspending, just to keep us right, from a governance perspective, we're only suspending 16.11 of the standing orders, not all of our standing orders. Not all of them. Thanks.
We'll throw the rules up out the window. Okay. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that clarity. So if we've got a proposer from Declan, have we got a seconder?
Julie seconded, chairperson.
Sorry, thank you very much, Scott. Okay, can I maybe hand over then to Marie or Sarah to do a recorded vote for the suspension of standing orders to hear this one motion, please?
Yeah, so this needs to be a qualified majority vote of 80% of the members present and voting. So Sarah, I'm going to hand over to you.
That's
and.
Okay.
As we have done before, we will call out the names just because it's easier for us to do it. It's not that it's a recorded vote. Is that okay?
It is a recorded vote.
Oh, it is. Sorry, apologies. Sorry. Go on ahead.
Councillor Andrews?
4.
Councillor Brown?
4.
Councillor Burgess? All right, can I ask everybody to keep on mute until I come to call your name? It's just as a bit of interference. Councillor Burgess?
4.
Councillor Brown?
4.
Councillor Casey?
4.
Councillor Clark is absent. Councillor Kern?
4.
Councillor Devlin?
4.
Mr. Dorn is absent. Councillor Enright?
4.
Mr. Finnegan?
4.
Mr. Gallagher?
4.
Mr. Gibbons?
4.
Mr. Hunger?
4.
Can I ask everybody to mute their microphone until I call their name, please? Councillor Hannah. Sorry, Councillor Hannah.
4.
Councillor Hart.
4.
Councillor Hyle.
4.
Councillor Larkin.
4.
Councillor Lewis.
4.
Mr. McGuinness?
4.
Mr. Malone?
4.
And Councillor Mason?
4.
Mr. McAteer?
4.
Mr. McAvoy is absent. Councillor McKee is absent. Councillor McKevitt?
4.
Councillor McMurray?
4.
Councillor Mulberry?
Four.
Murphy?
4.
Councillor O'Hare?
4.
Councillor Murray?
4.
Councillor Owen?
4.
Councillor Riley? That's gone. Councillor Wan?
4.
Councillor Savage?
4.
Chardon?
4.
Councillor Stokes?
4.
Councillor Taylor?
4.
Councillor Tinley?
4.
Councillor Trainer?
4.
Councillor Walker? Sorry, Councillor Walker's on mute.
Is Councillor Walker still with us? He's left it there, okay.
Yeah, he's on mute.
I think he's in the chamber, so can Terry see where he is?
That's okay. So there's 35 present and voting, so there's the qualified majority.
Thank you for doing that recorded vote there, Sarah. Okay, if I hand over to Councillor Savage, actually, Michael, because it was suspended standing orders, then you are allowed that second motion if you want to go on ahead there.
Yeah, thanks, Chair, and I thank the members for allowing me to raise this issue tonight. Chair, I'll read out the motion. The motion states, this council notes with concern reports that the Department for Communities 2021-22 draft budget includes no allocation for the independent advice sector to support welfare change, which equates to a £1.5 million reduction. The independent advice sector supports some of the most vulnerable in our council area, and whilst we are in the grips of a pandemic that is creating further hardships, a reduction in the budget will hamper the ability of this sector to continue providing much needed support. Council calls on the Minister for Communities and the Minister for Finance to work proactively to ensure that funding can be allocated appropriately for the independent advice sector within the budget for 2021-22. Chair, these cuts proposed in the latest Department of Communities budget could see work on fast-tracking payments for the terminally ill dumped and vital advice and support services stripped from the most vulnerable in our society. The Department for Communities draft budget reported over the last number of days in the media would be a shocking indictment of how the Department and Minister seek to support some of those most in need in our society. And tonight we urge her to work with the Finance Minister, indeed all her executive colleagues, to ensure measures are taken to address this potential shortfall. And a quality impact assessment on the executive's draft budget for 21-22 reveals that none of the 57.7 million DFC requested to meet commitments in the new decade new approach deal has been provided. This money was intended to fund a range of mitigations recommended by the Northern Ireland Human Rights Commission. They included additional support for people impacted by welfare reform, progressing a change to welfare rules to allow terminally ill people to apply for benefits 12 months before they die rather than 6 months, and $28.8 million requested to offset the two-child policy. The plans also see 45 advice jobs slashed amid a £1.5 million cut and youth unemployment programmes postponed. Chair, if the budgetary allocations go ahead as outlined, leading to de facto cuts to vital support services, it will have a harrowing impact on people already disproportionately affected by the pandemic. It's shocking that in the middle of an unemployment crisis, growing health crisis where cancer surgeries are being cancelled and the chances of numbers of terminally ill patients growing, not to mention a looming potential mental health crisis, that we're looking at what represents a £1.5 million cut to advice for people who, many for the first time, find themselves in need of welfare support as a result of the pandemic. As someone who deals with cases like this on a daily basis, I would not want to contemplate the workload that would fall on already stretched constituency offices if these advice services, such as Citizens Advice, were not there for our people. The Citizens Advice offices across Newry, Moore and Down are a lifeline for so many people who are struggling. The empathy and professionalism of the Citizens Advice Bureau staff is second to none, and they are the foundations upon which many individuals and families are able to live their lives stress-free and with dignity. Budgets during this time of crisis must prioritise the needs of and protect the most vulnerable in our society. Chair, we will be dealing with a very broken society when this pandemic finally ends. It is vital that we support, that we budget to put the support mechanisms in place that help us rebuild our society and lift all our people, including the thousands of families tragically impacted by the pandemic. We should not and must not cut these vital services. Chair, that's why I propose this motion this evening, and I ask members for their support. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Michael, sorry, who was seconding the motion? Sorry, Michael, I missed you there.
Councillor Traynor.
Sorry, apologies. John, did you want to speak on it?
Certainly, Chair, sorry. I suppose there's not much I can say that Michael hasn't already said. The draft budget, as has been reported over the last number of days, is an indictment of where we are currently at and how we're going to seek to support some of the most vulnerable in our society. As my colleagues alluded to, the independent advice sector is integral in supporting many local people with their change in welfare or with access in welfare and challenging refused claims. Especially now in these times of hardship, if a lack of budgeting that is a cut which could impact the number of advisors available across the north should not be accepted. There's a clear lack of budgeting for commitments made in the MDNA agreement, which included changes to special rules for terminal illnesses and the fast-track support available for those with terminal illnesses. This directly hits at the confidence the public will have in the upholding of the MDNA, not to mention the impact on those living with terminal illnesses and how they can avail support. It is important that we as a council call for these commitments to be upheld within the budget allocation in the coming year's budget, and the funds be allocated to ensure the continued level of support that the independent advice sector receives to ensure continuity for our residents who may need to avail such services. And I think, as Michael as well pointed out, whilst this motion is calling on the ministers for communities and for finance, who both have the responsibilities for being able to make these budgetary decisions, if it requires the work of the executive, then so be it. You know, it's just a case of something needs to happen to ensure that the most vulnerable within our district are protected. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, sir. Terry, you're in next, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Just more or less, I would like to speak in support of the emergency motion that was tabled at tonight's meeting in relation to the draft budget to the Department of Communities and the impact that this will have on the independent advice sector in the district and beyond. You know, for many years, we've seen it firsthand that Advice NI and its predecessors, the Citizens Advice Bureaus, have been the first port of call for so many people in times of need and hardship on a wide range of issues, be it housing, legal, consumer issues, benefits, and more so in recent years when welfare reform kicked in. They have been at the forefront and providing advice and signposting people in the right direction. I know often lies in tribunals and hearings in the local courthouse between meeting other political representatives' office and the advice NI representatives. You know, at times, I guess definitely it just demonstrates that they're not afraid to go the extra mile. You know, I believe that it is a vital service which is under so much pressure and under resourced post COVID-19. You know, when we all get through that, God willing, we'll all be entering uncharted waters, and it'll be underlining the strong case for funding to be allocated and enhanced for this advice sector that does so much. And at this stage, I'm asking that the relevant ministers do secure and put in place the funding that's needed for the likes of this sector and amongst others to carry out doing such an important job and providing an essential service for so many in the district. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Terry, and apologies, Councillor Finnegan. You were on up the chat there. There's been a few comments underneath it, so sorry I brought Terry in front of you there. If you want to go on ahead there, apologies.
That's all right. I know it has been mentioned, but this motion is you're working off a draft budget and still out for consultation. But the Communities Minister has clearly identified the need for monies to be allocated for the independent advice sector. You're already aware all departments are operating on a budget cut, and this comes from the British government. that promised us a budget for 3 years rather than what they have come up with. The British government assured the executive all of last year that they would advise them of the amount they were getting for at least a 3-year budget by the end of the summer. This would have allowed the executive to consult and plan for spending on public services for that period. They only advised the executive of the funding they would receive on the 25th of November, and only then told them it was a 1-year budget, which gave the departments no increase on the amounts they have to spend from last year. Departments have identified a £1.7 billion of spending they are now can no longer afford next year. I think, I mean, throughout this meeting, but all too often for every scheme that cannot go ahead is landed at the door of the Minister for Finance rather than address where the funding shortfall across departments actually comes from. I wonder if Councillor Savage is content to let the British government off the hook in the hope it will give them some sort of short-term political gain. I would like to clarify and add that the Minister for Communities is working within the constraints of the budget and is still intent on allocating this money. Therefore, writing to DSC and Department for Finance, to me, I feel is a waste of time. What I would ask for is that we write to the Chancellor of the Exchequer instead and challenge them on why they are not honouring their commitment to us in the North. Thank you.
Thank you. Aoife, was that a proposed amendment?
Yes,
thank you. Councillor Savage, are you willing to accept Councillor Finnegan's amendment?
Not in place of the existing members, because the whole thrust of my motion was to ensure that we had collaboration around the executive for the ministers responsible and finally find a resource within the current budgets. We've heard a lot of talk tonight about ministers should be making do with the budget increases that they've received. I have no problem if we want to bolt on to it that we write to the Chancellor asking for further funds from Whitehall to go towards services in dealing with the pandemic. I'm happy to bolt that on to the end, but I certainly wouldn't want to displace the collaborative work that needs to be done in developing our budget, which is a localised budget. And I think to replace one for the other would remove the whole tenure of what we're trying to do. But I'm happy if she wants to add it on to the end that we write to the Chancellor asking for further support for the advice sector and for dealing with the pandemic to be provided from Whitehall on top of the existing budget.
Thank you, Michael. So Councillor Finnegan and Councillor Savage is unwilling to amend it, but is willing to add on a vote on to the end. Are you content with that?
I mean, I think we cannot steer from the fact that that we rely on our budget from the British government and they have not stuck to their commitment. I suppose if you add it on to the end, I'm happy to do so. But I think Councillor Savage needs to think to realise what my point.
Okay, that's been noted. Move on then. Councillor Taylor, you're next there.
Yeah, Chair. Happy to support the motion, Chair. I think it's clear that, I think from the previous motions that we have had presented to us tonight, there's serious issues of hardship within many aspects of our community at the minute, as a result of COVID, and indeed other issues, but certainly COVID has been prevalent in that, and, these type of, advice networks are providing, a vital support at this time, and there is increased demand for it, so, it's clear that we need to, do all that we can to protect, the resources they have available so they're able to provide, practical support to people on the ground, and I know myself, I've worked with these agencies over the years, and certainly the work that they do has to be commended, and I think it would be a very sorry state for everybody if we were to lose the level of resource that they have available to them. It's already had challenges in the past, but certainly I think at this stage it's very, very clear that we need them more than ever. So the one thing I would say is too, and I'm not here to defend the British government, but there's many a thing I could criticise them about at the minute, but I think one thing that has to be acknowledged, we'll hear plenty about austerity and whatever else, and I don't want to get into a whole argument about this tonight, but it's very clear that, the British government has provided quite a bit of support, significant support over this period of time. And some members might like to hear that, but the reality is they have provided significant financial resource to Northern Ireland to help, cover a lot of the aspects of COVID, and I don't think that's acknowledged at times. and to put all the fault on them, you know, is to be honest, you're trying to abdicate any responsibility at times for things. So, you know, I think that has to be acknowledged. And I'm not here just to protect them or to try and defend them, but just as I've already said, there's many things I could criticise them about. But I think there's a lack of acknowledgement at times about the financial resource that has been made available, you know, to Northern Ireland during this period. So, Michael, happy to support the motion. And I'm also happy, you know, for an appeal to be made to the Chancellor to provide additional resources as well, so as long as it's worded in that manner. But, you know, Michael, thanks for bringing forward that motion that you have tonight, and I'm glad that it was able to be heard. Thank you.
Thank you. David, Councillor Hannah.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks, Michael, for bringing that forward and highlighting this problem and funding. You have to remember that those who need this, particular, like, for example, citizens' advice and them type of things, the people that actually use this here are usually the most vulnerable people, so they do in society and can't afford to go and pay for that sort of advice. So, Michael, to be quite honest with you, thanks very much for bringing that in. The DUP will be supporting your motion. Thanks.
Thank you, Glenn. Councillor McMurray.
Yep, thank you, Chair. We're sort of listening to sort of the to and fro as has gone on tonight. We're sort of happy to support the motion, and also as much to support the motion as also support the emphasis of the motion, which is sort of looking to support the citizens' advice NI. I mean, it is such a, you know, a go-to organisation. So, you know, regardless of sort of the twos and ins and outs of it, that we sort of want to send a clear message that we support this and all the rest of it. But I also do take Councillor Finnegan's points as well, that a lot of this issue is really relating to the amount of COVID funding that maybe hasn't quite come through. So, you know, I think there, I mean, truth be told, I'll be pillared for this. Obviously, there's merit on both sides of this case tonight, so there is. So we're content to support as is. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Andy. Councillor Murphy.
Yes, no, it definitely would support obviously the need for more funding for advice centres. But you know, as Councillor Finnegan said, there has to be accountability, particularly for the people that have no control of the purse strings. You know, it's not just, you know, enough to put the focus on the unfortunates within the executive that have to manage a very meagre budget. You know, so let's, you know, put the focus where it should be. And that's the British Chancellor of Exchequer. They control the purse strings. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Declan. Okay, I think that's all members that were have indicated they want to speak. Can I maybe hand back to you, Councillor Savage, to sum up?
Yes, Chair, thank you, and to thank all the members for their support. I think we all recognise the huge contribution that the advice sector makes to our community. Unfortunately, we are a district where we have high rates of poverty, high rates of unemployment, and high rates of benefit claimant, but we also have high rates of people who are suffering and going through cancer at the moment, many of them with very uncertain futures as their appointments and operations are cancelled. And I think what we have to realise that there are people behind this motion, people who are affected every day. And that's why I think tonight it's very important that we as a council send a very strong voice as one to the executive that to outline our concerns about this, and also to the Chancellor. And I agree with the need for more funding to come from Westminster. And I think the motion now completes that call. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks very much for that, Michael. So I think there's a general consensus there that motion is passed, so thank you for that. Okay, members, that's us towards the end of the meeting. Thanks all for your time and your contribution. So hopefully that's us finished for this evening.